Sure feels like it. Good morning, 97.1. Jim Costa with John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg behind the glass. John, are you starting to accept that Buckle this up. Is their destiny?
You know what? I have been very resistant to this, especially now that there's 11 games left. I am still somewhat apprehensive until you see what happened last night. I mean, Twins were up, Tigers were down, and then almost at the same time, the stars align, the moon comes out, you know, the fairy sprinkles a little bit of dust on both sides, and boom, the Tigers win, come back. I mean, in that game, they gave up a grand slam.
Yeah, you go, okay, well, that might be it. We might just have to...
Right.
Pack it in.
I don't know if you were watching like when it happened.
I had Monday night on primarily. The Tigers right. got down 4-0. I shifted more focus to football. Then as the comeback, then the main TV ends up back yeah. on the Tigers for the finish.
It was remarkable. It was remarkable. And to know that it was going on at the same time where the Twins were up and then their demise happens.
It was almost simultaneous. To where the Guardians had a chance, bases loaded, squandered it. Tigers are trailing. Oh, it's going to be one of those where not only do you not make up a game, you lose a game. Only to have things flip in a span of minutes where the Twins end up giving up the lead. Manzardo home run for the Guardians. Mm-hmm. And then at that same time, the Tigers are chipping away at this thing. The sixth inning for Detroit and the seventh, too, we want to spotlight. But the sixth inning, A.J. Hinch pinch hits twice.
Master.
And Andy Ibañez gets on base. Wenzel Perez drives him in. Tie ball game. Vierling, you got the lead. And then in the seventh inning, John, they give up two base runners right away. And you go, boy, two on, no out. Bo Brisky, who knew he could throw 100 miles an hour, gets a punch out, a ground out, double play ball, and the Tigers, everything's clicking for this baseball team.
It's so much fun. And you mentioned all of the changes that AJ made in the moment. We've seen it throughout the course of the year. And obviously, we're living it with the pitching rotation. Mm-hmm. Like undecided pitchers and the group effort days and the ERA for the Tigers since the trade deadline has been unbelievable. Unbelievable. Because you have, you know, I mean, you don't have starters. You literally don't have starters. And now all of a sudden you have Reese Olson back. You have Casey Mize. So you're starting to build the rotation back in September while you're in a wild card chase.
It's remarkable. The Tigers have one of the best bullpen ERAs in all of baseball, and it's a collection of who, what,
yeah,
where, when, why. John, it doesn't have to make sense. And I've just completely surrendered to the absurd. I've 100% accepted that this is a team of destiny, that with a game and a half separating them from a playoff spot, it's only a matter of when they get that spot. It just feels like something's up. You don't have to be able to explain. How do I explain this? They do not have a lockdown rotation right now. Reese Olson wasn't very good. I don't know that you're going to get much from Casey Mize, but I expect the bullpen to come in, mop and broom, clean it up, give themselves a chance. And AJ has pressed all the right buttons, because if you tally up not just the bullpen arms he puts into the game, but they use three bats off the bench as well, they're using everybody they've got. And nobody's managing their baseball team better than AJ Hinch is. The Twins, meanwhile, are in free fall. And that's part of this story, too. You needed a little bit of help. You've gotten a lot of help. The Twins are collapsing. I went back and looked it up. Everybody points out the Tigers have started to win since Javi Baez went out. Pure coincidence, I'm sure. Pure coincidence. Tigers, 16-7 since the Javi injury.
Wow. Wow.
The Twins in that span, 8-15. The Tigers have made up 8 games in that 23-game sample. That's a credit to the Tigers, because 16-7 is no joke. But the other story here is, guys, the Twins aren't done leaking oil. They're going to lose another 4 or 5 games before you know it. And there's the pathway for the Tigers to creep right in and snatch that playoff spot up.
The Twins are the Wings.
You know what? You're right.
That's exactly, because everybody wants to compare this playoff chase to the Wings, because it's the last one that we had. But it's completely different, because we had marked them for dead. The Detroit Tigers. Marked for dead.
So we, when we did the fake contending, which was, what, 2.5 weeks ago now?
Yeah, give or take.
And they have methodically chipped away exactly as we said they would have to. It's crazy. And the Twins are playing the part. And so we, I think last week we went from 87 wins to 86 would probably do it. It's now reasonable. 86 wins, Tigers go 8-3 the rest of the way. Twins go 7-5. That's giving the Twins a little benefit of the doubt right now.
I was going to say, I don't know that I trust the Twins to have a winning record the rest of the season.
I don't know what last night's going to do to them. They gagged that game away.
Okay, so path to 8-3 could simply mean, can we chalk up the final three against the Sox as a sweep?
Yeah, it's win every series and sweep the Sox. It's in play now.
Well, even if, okay, you're at Baltimore for three games. And, I mean, you just won that series. It would be great to win that series. But let's just say you get one of two. You've got to get one more against Kansas City, one against Baltimore, and then sweep Tampa and Chicago to finish the season. That gets you 8-3. Right. And I'm just looking at that because, I mean, even though they did win last night, Kansas City is a good team. And they're not great, but they are good. Baltimore, a little bit better than Kansas City, but marginally.
You know who I'm more concerned with than the Twins? Because I do think they're going to continue to leak some oil. The Mariners are suddenly kind of in this too, by the way. The Mariners are within a half game of Detroit. They didn't play last night. You're going to have to, I mean, if the Tigers go 8-3, they need the Mariners to go 7-4 right. In that span.
Here's right. What
they, because the Tigers have the tiebreaker, don't they?
The Tigers have the tiebreaker with the Mariners. They don't have it with the Twins. Now, I don't know how you break a three-way, but
who wins in three-way action? I'm not sure.
Okay, John. It's a little early for that.
It could be a tie, three-way tie. I'm not ready to go down that road of trying to figure out the tiebreakers in that one.
So no. I don't know if the Mariners still play the Astros. I know that division is technically still in limbo. So,
yeah. So the Astros could end up in this too, yeah. Sure. A lot of moving parts.
I mean, heck, the Orioles could come backwards if the Tigers go on a binge here. Last night was that was unbelievable. Yeah. So I had the TV and we've only got one set up and I went from Monday Night Football to Tigers. Down 5-1, I was still like, can they get back into this thing? And I saw it was so bleak, 3-0 Twins.
Yeah.
And it just started to happen, like Jim said, simultaneously. And the boys were getting mad at me because they had fantasy implications with Jalen Hurts playing last night. And then my other son had Devontae Smith. So it was a very like intriguing thing for them. Yeah. And I'm like, guys, I'm not watching this Monday night game right now. I'm watching my Tigers.
Oh, it's real easy. If the Eagles aren't going to feed Saquon in the red zone, I'm not watching. So, yeah, no, you watch over.
They did throw it to him.
I know, and he dropped it.
And he dropped it. So they did feed him.
I'm saying early in the game. Early in the game.
When
the decision had to be made which screen to watch.
When it mattered most, they went to him.
I know, John. I needed like a 4-touchdown day from him. It wasn't going to happen. We had a bad week as a team. We needed him to step up. He didn't. It's okay. Long
you had a
season.
Bad weekend in general, didn't you?
Why are you doing this to me? We cut an episode.
You do it to yourself.
I did text yesterday that I didn't print out for you. You and Mike were double digits under 500.
We had the worst betting weekend individually we've ever had. Collectively, it was bloody. It was brutal.
Huh.
That's why we remind people, bet responsibly. That's why we've never told people these are guaranteed locks. Take them to the bank. Guaranteed to retire early. Pick your spot out on the beach. It's called gambling, not winning, John.
Yes.
Anyway, the question is for Tiger
fans. And that's
fans.
Fun to you?
When you win.
So I asked that question again.
I understand.
Yeah.
The question is not about my potential gambling problem. The question is about our Detroit baseball team. Is this happening? Have you accepted that we have a playoff baseball team for the first time in 10 years? They are still out.
Okay, gambling man.
Yeah. You want to find the odds for me?
No. Where's your money?
Are you betting on the Tigers
to make it?
Yeah, sure. I'll pull them up.
But is this car flag Jimmy or is this cash the ticket Jimmy? Where you're sitting there looking at all of the potential outcomes and all of the different variables, figuring out where you're going to, you know, hey, am I going to get this month's mortgage paid on this bet?
First of all, nobody should be betting their mortgage on any of this.
Well, okay, yes. Nobody should be.
So playoff percentage is at 19.1% now.
That feels low, doesn't it? A game and a half back?
Yeah, but that's the biggest it's been. It's like a double last
night.
Yeah,
when we started talking about this, I mean, just this time last week, it was like 7.8, and then it jumped all the way up to 9.7. Now you're telling me it's nearly 20%?
Just think, man. I kept on saying this. September 30th, Tigers in the playoffs, Lions, Seahawks, Monday night.
How about this? Plus 415 to make the playoffs for the Detroit Tigers. 4-1 odds to make the playoffs. Game and a half back, playing good ball. Twins falling apart in front of our very eyes. It's all starting to align. The team of destiny plays in Detroit, Michigan.
It's
accept it.
Way more fun than we ever thought it would be. Way more fun.
Have you guys accepted that we have a playoff-bound baseball team? It's 97-1.
Hey, when it comes to managing your finances, and not the way Jim Costa does, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success.
Such a jerk.
That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. They're going to ask you questions, maybe a couple of follow-ups, and they're going to find out what you need from the bank, and then they're going to build a financial plan that fits your unique situation and fills those needs. When you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well, and they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. All of these different reasons are why I bank with First Merchants Bank. This is the difference of 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Gutty at bat for Matt Vierling. 6-pitch battle to take the lead. It was a gutty win for the Tigers, who fell down 4-0 on a grand slam from Bobby Witt Jr. They came roaring back. They took the lead. And this hodgepodge bullpen, Bo Brisky, rearing back for 100 miles an hour and then getting the double play ball. John, they're within a game and a half of a playoff spot. And we've asked people, are you accepting that this is a team of destiny? Are you on board that we will have playoff baseball? Is this happening? You still seem like you're on the fence.
Well, I am, because I can't believe that this team is even competitive. And they are. Like, it's right in front of my face. And this is one of those things where, you know, you keep saying, well, I got to see it to believe it. I'm seeing it. But for some reason, I'm struggling to believe it. And yesterday, you get hits from Parker Meadows, Perez, Vierling. Colt Keith has been really good.
He had a big home run.
Torkelson, you know, was 2 of 5. Jake Rogers got in the mix. Andy Ibañez got in the mix. Like, it's, you're getting production up and down the lineup. And tell me, is this the same team that we were talking about in May?
No. And that's Rake Rogers to you, by the way. All he does is rake.
I mean, hey, he's almost back up to 200.
If they sweep the Royals, they're only 2 behind the Royals.
Big home playoff baseball. Yes. Dot, dot, dot. Let's go.
If we can get to the final weekend, the Royals go to Atlanta. The Twins play the Orioles, and the Tigers play the White Sox.
We've said it all along, that last 3 games. That's why we wanted to get within 3.
Yeah.
And the Mariners are starting a 3-game series with the Yankees at home, and they also have to go to Houston next week. So it's not an easy road for them.
If they're a game behind going into the Sox series, make your plans.
Oh, yeah, because they're going to take 3.
Yeah, and I don't trust that Minnesota's going to win. So they have to lose 2. Because the tiebreaker goes to Minnesota.
Yes.
What a gift it would be, because the Lions don't play that Sunday.
And
to have that be the decider.
Oh, my God.
Because the Lions have the Monday night game.
Yes.
So the draw, it sets up so perfectly. And, like, we've waited so long for good things to happen for our sports teams. And it feels like the stars are aligning.
You know, the Wings locked up Lucas Raymond yesterday.
How about that?
Another positive.
Mm-hmm. Good deal for both sides, by the way. Yes. Cider should be imminent. Some ticket text, 248-539-9797. Says, the playoff chase is over the moment Costa puts money on it later today.
Oh, just don't say those two words.
Which two words?
Costa Lock.
Now, last week you said Destiny, and it hasn't jinxed this yet. So I think you're off the hook with that.
Get your stupid car flags off your car, cookies. they're not on the car. That's a Red Wing bit.
He's got foam fingers on his antenna.
Oh, no, the tiger claw.
Yeah. No, you got to be careful because this car would start to fly. No, I mean, wow. Game and a half back with 11 to go. Who would have thunk it?
Texter says, I have a strong belief the Tigers will make the postseason, but I'm still annoyed that they could have swept Baltimore if Hinch doesn't throw Maeda Saturday night in a one-run game. We could be a half game back right now. Hunter and Tecumseh. Hunter, the world, it's mysterious ways. It's not going to be a straight line, but they're going to get there when it's said and done.
You know, baseball. That is definitely a critical decision he made. People were mad Saturday. I'll just say this. They were pretty fortunate to win Friday night's game.
Well,
with
yes.
What happened with the bullpen perfect slash almost no hitter.
One hitter.
But that 1-0 game against the Orioles. You shut out the Orioles. I mean, with a bullpen day.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
got to have somebody to eat some innings at some point. And because this whole system, this whole ecosystem that is working right now is working with Maeda in it. I mean, if we could only get a Skubal win, right? Like, the last two starts have been losses for Tarek Skubal.
And he should pitch...
Or the Tigers, but...
Yes, he should pitch twice the final 11 games of the season. So there's another notch. Again, Twins are leaking oil. Tigers are finding ways to win. They're only a game and a half back. Last ticket texter says, I'm not trying to bring the room down, guys, but I can't think of how much fun Jamie would be having with this Tigers Team of Destiny season. Let's go, Tigers! Jamie loved baseball. I don't need to tell you guys that. Yeah. He would be eating this up.
He would be, and he would be besides himself that it's happening because this cast of misfits to be doing this. We've seen comebacks from teams and, you know, been 5-6 down in mid-September and do it, but
there's still logic behind this.
It's right, because the staff is so weird and then the young kids coming along. And they were doing that streak. I know you pulled the Javi stat, but they were. This has been going on since
early August.
Yeah, after they lost a few after the deadline.
To the Royals, oddly enough.
I can tell you this. I do know, I would love to ask AJ about this again, but I was listening to a pregame show and he was pretty definitive with Dan about let's start playing some baseball again, guys. Stop the woe is me act after the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. We're not throwing in the towel.
Clearly haven't. All right, we got Greg Palm coming up at 6:35. Do we have a new number one in college football? We have some Lions conversations to have later this hour as well. Now that we're done venting, now that the bitch fest is over from yesterday's show, we can look to actual concerns and what they are, and if there are really any. But first, Heather with the news.
Well, guys, a second man has died following Sunday's shooting at Eastern Market. So following a fight that broke out after the Lions game, two men were shot. One of the victims, a man in his 40s, died at the scene. The other victim, a man in his 20s, was taken to the hospital in critical condition. But on Monday, Detroit police did announce that the second victim died, they say, during the night. Police Chief James White did announce that officers did arrest a man from Oak Park in his 30s who is licensed to carry a gun. Now, there is a spokesperson as well from Eastern Market that is speaking out saying that they're now going to work with law enforcement, city officials to enhance public safety measures there, including increasing foot patrols in the area. Devastating story for sure. A high school football coach in Macomb County has been fired after getting into a fight with a parent on the field.
What?
Yeah, during Friday night's varsity game between Lakeshore High School in St. Clair Shores and Warren Woods Tower, apparently a parent left the stands, walked onto the field up to one of Lakeshore's assistant coaches and punched him in the head.
Punched the coach in the head?
Yeah, and then, of course,
he
went down.
And the coach is now fired?
Well, I think that there was then other punches thrown in retaliation, I'm sure.
Okay,
because the coach did fall. There's like video of it. The coach fell to the ground. Other players then got involved. Other coaches jumped in. And then a fight ensued. And yes.
And the coach lost his job.
The coach lost his job. The parent also involved is no longer allowed on the property or to go to any of the high school events.
Wow.
Yeah, I want to know what caused it. Obviously, you don't have the answer.
I don't have. There was not a lot in the article. The two guys were just fighting on the field.
Johnny.
I don't know. Yeah.
Like you told. You said you would. And...
A hidden camera was found in a Livingston County church bathroom.
Oh, boy.
And now the pastor has been charged and fired from his job. I will never understand these hidden cameras. This is not something new. We've heard this all the time that people put hidden cameras in a bathroom.
What
are you trying to find? What do you want to see? Like, it just, I don't get it. I mean, I guess I do get it, but I don't get it at the same time. Like,
it's just sick. It's
so
gross.
So 37-year-old Will Johnson was the worship pastor director at 242 Community Church in Brighton. He is accused of putting this camera in the bathroom off and on for the last 2 years. So this was going on for quite a while. He did confess. He was arraigned on Sunday on charges of surveying unclothed people, destruction of evidence, and the use of a computer to commit a crime. He was given a $250,000 cash bond. Of course, the executive pastor at the church said that they are shocked and deeply saddened by the situation.
Multiple penalties called on him, right, John?
Yeah, yeah. I don't understand why this would happen, or if. I don't know. Let's move on.
Sean Diddy Combs. He was arrested last night at a Manhattan hotel. No word yet on the exact charges he's facing, but they're most likely related to the sex trafficking allegations that he's been facing for over the past year. Since last November, he's been hit with 10 lawsuits alleging rape, trafficking, other crimes. His homes were raided. You probably remember that back in March. Now his attorney said that he is disappointed with the arrest, adding, quote, to his credit, Mr. Combs has been nothing but cooperative with this investigation and has voluntarily relocated to New York last week in anticipation of these charges. So apparently he was just upset at when he was arrested. Whatever. It was going to happen no matter what. So it happened. There's been a study on the rudest cities in America, and instead of asking travelers their experience of running into different rude people, the survey was done on residents that lived in the 46 largest metro areas in the U.S. and kind of said, like, what is your take on the rudeness level in your own area? So the top 10 rudest cities, Miami is number one. People in Miami think people there are rude. Philadelphia, Tampa, Louisville, Oakland, California, Boston, Memphis, Las Vegas, Long Beach, California, and Charlotte, North Carolina. Huh. And then on the flip side, the least rudest, San Diego, Columbus, Ohio, Kansas City. Yeah, Missouri.
Least rudest.
Milwaukee.
Yeah, take a trip to Columbus. Find out.
Remember, it's in their eyes.
Yes, it is. It's in their eyes. Indianapolis, San Jose, California, Raleigh, North Carolina, and Oklahoma City. And I do have some good news. In 2022, Detroit was ranked number 6 in rudeness. Like, we were way up there at the top of being one of the rudest cities. Now, we see ourselves as much kinder. We're number 30. We're down at the very bottom.
We've learned to love ourselves.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. All right, Heather with the news.
Shocking.
All right, coming up next, Greg Palm, college football rankings. It's 97.1. We do this every week, try to get a sense of the best 12 teams in college football, and we turn to Greg Hargrave.
So nobody lost last week that was in Greg Palm's rankings from a week ago. So if you're looking for a lot of change, don't think you're going to see it this week. We're going to start at number 12. Holding firm there is Southern California. USC had a bye week last week. But really, the big win for them last week was the LSU win, coming back from 17 down to win at South Carolina. Just makes that win on a neutral field a little bit better. LSU can kind of push them up a little bit if the Tigers keep winning.
Sure,
LSU
bolsters the resume.
LSU very fortunate to get that win.
Yeah.
Did you see pick six call back because someone had the audacity to block the quarterback?
Right, no, I know.
He was trying to make a tackle. Anyway.
Question. If LSU had lost that game, would it have affected where USC was in Greg Palm?
Negative.
Okay, I'm just curious because we always talk about bolstering the resume, but...
Kind of goes
but what you
way.
Might see it later in the season, pushing, pulling.
Yeah,
LSU sure. pushing up USC, USC pulling LSU along the way yeah. if USC keeps winning as well.
Yes,
they're playing at Michigan.
Yes, we hope not.
CBS, 3:30 game.
Big game.
And that's all I have to say about that game.
Yes, thank you. Me too.
Number 11, the Utah Utes.
Did I see Rising is going to play this week?
Rising is expected to play this week, according to Brett McMurphy. He suffered that finger injury against Baylor in the second quarter there. They had a big win on the road at Utah State without him. They start conference play for real this time. I double-checked. and that's a big one. They're playing at Oklahoma State. And it's the Greg Palm game of the week.
Oh, there we go.
What's the stakes of this game early in this season? The winner, I will tell you, is going to be in the rankings next week, whether that's Oklahoma State coming in or Utah bolstering the resume as well.
Driver's seat to win the Big 12 to the winner of this game.
Well, get to the game. Remember, they still have to win the game. And this is really all about building that resume so that if you do get upset in the Big 12 title game, you still have the chance to win the at-large.
Yes.
And
host a game.
Say if there is a team that comes up, they go 9-3 like at Kansas State a couple years ago, and they upset Utah or Oklahoma State, whoever wins this game, in the Big 12 title game, they're stealing a bid from another SEC or Big 10 team.
Yes.
So it's that kind of bid-stealing factor that's in here as well when Utah is going to build up a resume to be an 11-1 or 12-0 team heading into that game. Number 10, Tennessee.
Way too low.
Only up one spot. Look, I am tempted to move them up higher. Just can't feign the space for them right now ahead of those teams and what they have accomplished. They're putting up video game numbers, 63 points per game. Look, they're going to have a chance to significantly move up this
sure.
week. Because they're getting rid of the cardboard. They're going into Norman. Game day is going to be there playing the Sooners. It's a ranked matchup, a real test. Josh Heupel played at Oklahoma. Now he head coaches Tennessee. He said that he thinks that the Oklahoma crowd is going to be quiet during Tennessee's offense out of respect. Don't know if he was tongue-in-cheek.
It was definitely tongue-in-cheek.
Look, guys, all three of these games that we just mentioned, all three of them could have been Greg Palm Game of the Week in any other week. They
sure.
just so happen to be all on this weekend. They were all under consideration. Number 9, Missouri. Big win against Boston College. What could have been the game of the day? I got a friend was calling me on Sunday to rehash what happened in college football. He said that was the best game of the week.
Yeah.
Look, Boston College, they came out well. And after a deep drive to left by Castellanos, they led it 14-3. Mizzou scored 24 straight, end up winning 27-21. Good win for Mizzou. Number 8, got Miami. Took care of business against Ball State. Cam Ward, he's now the Heisman favorite after the Quinn Ewers injury. Question about them, is the Florida win getting a little bit devalued? Because
yes.
the Florida program is a little bit in tatters right now.
Oh, yeah.
Number 7, got Penn State. They're really close to Miami. They both had non-conference Power 5 wins on the road in week one, and they're kind of living off of that for now. They had a bye week last week. Not much to add here. Just mentioned similar to Miami. They got Kent State at home this coming week. Number 6, Oregon. That's more like it, guys. 32 carries, 240 yards rushing, 7.5 yards per carry, and like Oregon does when they are at their best, it's everybody in the mix. 240 yards rushing. Nobody had over 100 yards individually. Jordan James, Noah Whittingham, Dylan Gabriel got in the mix as well in the rushing attack. 0 sacks allowed as well in a Civil War rivalry game on the road at Oregon State.
Yep. About time.
Number 5, down a spot. Ole Miss. We're going to get to Bama, too, and Bama, we're going to kind of talk about them a little bit here. Alabama and Mississippi, very close this year. I'm really torn about who's 4, who's 5. Mississippi's really torn through the schedule, huge offensive numbers. I'm giving a little bit more value to Bama's win at Wisconsin than Ole Miss at Wake. These teams are so similar, and the worst part about it all, they don't play each other this year.
I know. Ole Miss is happy because that has not gone their way for years.
No, it hasn't.
So we're going to be constantly talking about Alabama Ole Miss in this kind of transitive property, A greater than B, B greater than D, a C greater than B, a C greater than E.
Right.
All of this comparative stuff between Alabama and Ole Miss. So we will go to number four, which is the Alabama Crimson Tide. Move them up because of that win at Wisconsin at Cam Randall. They have a bye week. Don't really have anything more to add to them. They have Georgia in 2 weeks.
They got a bye. They got 2 weeks to prepare for the Georgia Bulldog.
And so does Georgia, by the way.
Oh, Georgia's on a bye too?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Games in Tuscaloosa.
Wow.
I think I might know what the Greg Palm game of the week is that week.
Possibly.
Number three, Ohio State. Bye week last week. They got Marshall this week.
Thundering Herd.
Cardboard September continues, so nothing to report really on the Buckeyes. I do want to point out Jeremiah Smith, the freshman, 11 catches, 211 yards, 3 touchdowns. They got another one. Dynamic playmaker.
Not a shock.
Number two, representing the SEC. Should have been in the playoff last year.
Oh, Georgia.
And they were in the playoff last year, Texas Longhorns.
Wait, no!
Are the number two team country. Okay, you've got
it's
some
kind of
gripes.
An unfair tease.
He ripped the rug out from under us. Yeah. Go ahead, Greg.
How about the walk there for that joke? Number two, Texas, we'll get to Georgia in a minute. They continue to be unchallenged. Even with the banged up Ewers, plus 40 points per game, they are defeating their opponents. Did we learn anything new with their win against UT San Antonio? Not much, although I would say that Arch could play in a pinch and produce. So that's going in their favor. That's what we learned, yeah. I think, new from
they
last
have
week.
A very reliable and now proven backup.
Yes. Quinn Ewers, I would expect him not to play in the game against Louisiana Monroe. If you got a gripe, I get it. Texas has a strong case for number one. But our number one team is still the Georgia Bulldogs. Guys, they've done this before. 23 at Auburn. Won a nail-biter, 27-20. That was a 500 Auburn team. 22 at Mizzou. They were messing around for three quarters before they finally got it in gear. 126-22. Saturday is life in the SEC. When you don't have your 100 game on the road in a fervent environment against a motivated team that was coming off an embarrassing loss, they were, as in Kentucky, they were ready for that game to challenge Georgia in that game.
Yes.
I'm not going to demerit the Bulldogs for one of these games. And the fact that they have the bye week going into Alabama, their rating is going to change either way. Either they're going to beat Bama and it will affirm their number one ranking, or they're going to lose and they'll be out of this spot in a couple weeks.
So the AP voters move Texas to number one. And I think some of the argument there is the road challenges for both Texas and Georgia. Texas winning Ann Arbor won by 19 points. And I think Michigan, as down as they are, comparable to Kentucky.
Yeah,
well, I give Texas more credit. The line looks better. The quarterback play has been better. I would put Texas number one.
And if I could really add to that, probably I'm going to say that Texas would win, but it'll still be better than winning at Kentucky. Is it going to be a demerit that Alex Orji is now the starter at Michigan and Texas beat Michigan's backup quarterback?
I don't know.
They just didn't know it at the time.
I don't know. I mean, I would lean more towards where Greg is. It's hard to win in the SEC, even though Kentucky is a team that doesn't always stand up or hold up in the rankings. They're always a tough out. They play tough football.
And there you have it. The top 12 teams from the brain of Greg Hargrave. Ken Palm does hoops. Greg Palm does football. It's 97-1. It was a one-run game. There were two on and no outs. Bo Brisky with the punch out, 100 miles an hour on the gun, and then the ground out into a double play. Dan Dickerson's call. Good morning, as the Tigers are a game and a half back of a playoff spot. Destiny. Team of destiny. John, yesterday's show was a lot about the Lions. Basically, the whole show was about the Lions.
Yeah.
And I would say it was a venting session. I believe in your prep, you called it a bitch fest.
Yeah.
We had a lot to complain about from that loss over the weekend.
It was very cathartic.
Yeah. But then you exhale, right?
and you reflect and you zoom out and you go, well, Niners lost and the Eagles lost and the Cowboys lost. And what are we actually concerned about with this Lions football team? Because the defense was the preseason question. The defense has looked really good. They are going as Aiden leads them. He has a game wrecker. In the secondary, he's making more plays. Offensively, am I supposed to freak out that a team that has been elite offensively for a year and a half can't do that again? What am I actually concerned about with this football team? Like, I clearly want them to be better in the red zone last week. Do I have any concerns that season-wide they're going to fail to score inside the 10, inside the 20 with this group of playmakers? I don't. So what are you concerned about?
I'm concerned about the play calling. I'm concerned that Ben Johnson, that and okay, I don't buy into, oh, well, defensive coordinators have figured him out. Like, what were they doing for the last 2 years? Like, let's give the defensive coordinators a little bit more credit than it took them 2 years to catch up to Ben Johnson.
They're like, hey, let's watch film and figure this out.
Right.
They've been trying to do that.
Right. But it's, I mean, I think he'll figure it out. I think this will all be solved. But when you add in, and everybody thinks, okay, well, you take a guy away, and all of a sudden that changes things. And it does without Josh Reynolds. But then you add a playmaker and a guy that is much more dynamic and can be much more explosive in Jameson Williams. How do you continue to spread the ball around to make the offense effective? It's not just pushing the ball to Jameson Williams. It's not just forcing it to Amon-Ra St. Brown. You've got to let things happen organically. You keep calling the same things, and you add in a few extra wrinkles, as you should every year, that would include a playmaker like Jameson Williams, that would include some other different components, and account for some guys doing some things better, like a Jahmyr Gibbs, because he's in his second year, like a Sam Laporta, who's in his second year. I just think that he's pushing too hard to try and force the ball to certain guys because he wants to set things up for later in the season. And I get that, but it's the task at hand is winning this week.
The loss itself is painful because of how they lost. It's painful because it's an NFC loss. It's painful because seeding matters. You want home games in the playoffs. You want to, first of all, win your division, but then we want to see home games throughout the playoffs. So it hurts. But I don't believe they're going to struggle like that in the red zone all season. Last year, they were number two in the NFL, converting red zone trips to touchdowns. 66-67%. Two-thirds of the time, they got down and they didn't settle. They finished. This season, they're converting 27%. It's 28th in football. Right. I don't think that's going to be the story of the season.
I don't think it will. It's going to be the story early on. And, okay, when you get into the red zone, and here's going back to, you know, forcing it to JMO or forcing it to Amon-Ra St. Brown. If Sam Laporta is this week's target against Arizona and he comes away with 10 catches, you know, 14 targets and 125 yards, I don't want it to be that way and the offense to still look like it's dysfunctional. If that happens and we come away with, wow, that offense was dynamic, who was making plays? Like it needs to be kind of an under the radar, he catches 10 balls and we're going to celebrate because all of a sudden, hey, Sam Laporta has, you know, come off the milk carton, somebody paid the reward and we have rescued him. But it needs to be an organic flow of the game. It's something that the defense is, they're not giving, you're taking.
248-539-9797. We let out a lot of frustration yesterday. As you take a deep breath, what is your concern with this football team right now? The concern level. You know, we could do it on a scale, 1 to 10. 1 being I have minimal concern. 1 meaning this is still a Super Bowl team, no doubts. That's a 1 out of 10. 10 would be an acronym that I really don't want to say. Where are you on the concern? I won't. Where are you on the scale 1 to 10? 248-539-9797. And if you have a big concern, the biggest concern, you can present that as well. Like Jared Goff, right? I think we talked about him yesterday, and I didn't like the way he played. I don't think it's a recipe for success to have him throw it 55 times. I don't think that's going to be the game plan most weeks. I also know who Jared Goff is as a quarterback. That wasn't revealing to me
that he has his limitations.
Right.
I know that's who he is. And I know if they pass protect, I know if they run block to set up play action pass, which they very rarely did, he's going to be just fine. And they're going to be just fine this season.
And I go back to, it feels like they're forcing things offensively instead of just calling the offense as they have the last 2 years, where it's been a dynamic offense and you can't find a way to stop Amon-Ra St. Brown. And if you do, there's Sam Laporta. If you do, there's Josh Reynolds. Now, I know Josh Reynolds isn't there. Insert Amon-Ra St. Brown. Insert any other receiver, because we saw Khalif Raymond get in the action late in the game. So it's that's where I just want to see this offense. Hey, don't predetermine where you want this ball to go, because defenses are, you could say they figured them out. I don't think that's the case. They are just, the defenses are just doing the same thing that they've been doing. They want to try and take away some weapons, but they shouldn't be able to take away all of them. And Jared Goff, I don't want him. I think he's a smart quarterback, limited a little bit physically, but I think he's very smart. So let him be the, you know, the deciding factor of where the ball goes, not just predetermined at the snap.
Like you said, it's got to be organic. It has to be just based on the way the defense reacts pre and post snap, not what you've decided before you even walk up to the line of scrimmage. I want your number. 1 to 10, concern level. 1 is Super Bowl team, no doubts. 10 is a three-letter acronym that should have been buried long ago. Where are you at? It's 97-1.